Imagine this for a second. You're the CEO of a really successful medical device company. You're probably based in Irvine, California, maybe somewhere near the Spectrum Center, maybe overlooking the 405.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team of brilliant engineers. You're prototyping a new surgical robot, a cardiovascular stent, whatever it is. Business is moving fast. You feel good. You feel secure.
It's the classic Irvine success story, right?
Yeah.
Innovation capital.
Exactly. But then it's a random Tuesday morning. You're sipping your coffee. You open your email and your stomach just drops through the floor. It's that heart-sinking moment where the room just goes cold.
The email that nobody ever wants to see.
The subject line reads, "Notice of potential HEPA security rule violations action required," and the sender.
It isn't a spam bot. It's the Office for Civil Rights, the OCR.
That is, and I'm not exaggerating, a catastrophic start to the day. And your first reaction, and I think this is where a lot of you listening would be, is just confusion. You think, wait, we aren't a hospital. We don't have patients in beds here. We make hardware. We make widgets. Why is the federal government knocking on my door?
It's a common refrain.
Okay.
But here's the reality check. Between 2023 and 2025, enforcement actions against medical device manufacturers, they jumped by 340%. You're not flying under the radar anymore.
340%, that's not a blip. That is a targeted crackdown.
It is. And today, we are diving deep into why that's happening. We're unpacking a guide that's really made for Irvine's med tech sector to understand, you know, why this is happening now. We're going to explore why generic IT.
The normal stuff.
Yeah, the stuff that works for a law firm or a bakery. Why that's essentially a death sentence for a medical device company.
We're calling this the $50,000 mistake, but as we're about to see, 50 grand is just the appetizer.
Oh, absolutely. That's just the cover charge to get into the courtroom.
So let's set the scene here. We are talking about Irvine, California. This is not just some industrial park. It's a specific ecosystem.
Right. It's the epicenter. You have the Irvine Spectrum area. You have the research parks. There are over 400 medical tech firms in this corridor, and they're generating something like $12 billion a year.
Wow.
Yeah. You have the global heavyweights in heart valves, ophthalmology, orthopedics, and then hundreds of these agile startups feeding into that whole system.
And that ecosystem is where the danger lies. Because these companies, they are so laser focused on FDA approval, on clinical trials, on just getting to market. But the source material we're looking at highlights this massive identity crisis they're all having with data security.
It's a huge psychological blind spot. Most manufacturers operate under this assumption that HIPAA is for doctors and nurses and insurance companies.
Right.
I think we make widgets. High-tech, life-saving widgets, sure, but widgets nonetheless. We don't treat people. No. We don't bill Medicare, so we're safe.
But the source material makes it crystal clear that assumption is legally dangerous.
It is. The second you touch patient data, your identity changes in the eyes of the law. You become what's called a business associate.
Business associate.
Yeah.
That sounds like, you know, legal jargon. Uh-huh. Let's break down what it actually means for the engineer or the CEO who's listening right now. How does a company making a knee implant, for example, end up touching patient data?
It happens way earlier than they think. So think about the life cycle of that knee implant. Before you can even sell it, you have to prove it works. You have to run clinical trials.
Right. You're testing it in hospitals. You're working with surgeons.
Exactly. And what comes back from those hospitals? Spreadsheets, surgical outcomes, adverse event reports. Maybe even x-rays showing how the implant seated in the bone. That's not just testing data. That is protected health information, or PHI.
So the R&D department isn't just sitting on blueprints. They're effectively sitting on a pile of medical records.
Correct. And it doesn't stop at R&D.
Yeah.
Look at post-market surveillance. The FDA requires you to track your device. If a surgeon calls and says, hey, this joint failed, you have to investigate. You're going to request the surgical notes, the patient history, maybe the serial number matched to that patient. Boom, you're handling PHI.
And I'm guessing real-world evidence falls right into this bucket, too.
Big time. That's the hot trend right now, right? Using existing patient data sets to model how a new device might perform. If you ingest that data for your simulations, and that data has identifiers, you're a hospital in the eyes of the OCR.
So if you're a business associate, you are subject to the exact same audits, the exact same fines, the same scrutiny as a major medical center.
The standards are identical. But, and this is the key conflict, the IT infrastructure usually isn't. A hospital has an army of security pros. A device manufacturer might have, you know, Steve the IT guy.
And this leads us right to the technical deep dive. The source material uses this term generic IT. Sounds a little derogatory, but what are we really talking about? Why is it failing these companies so badly?
We're talking about the standard managed service provider, or MSP, that serves just general businesses. Let's say you hire a local IT shop. They're great people. They set up your Office 365, they make sure the Wi-Fi is fast, they put an antivirus on all the laptops.
That sounds normal. I mean, that sounds like what every business does.
For a CPA firm or a marketing agency, it's perfect.
Mm.
But for a medical device company, it is a trap.
Yeah.
Because those generic providers, they just don't understand the specific, granular requirements of the HIPAA security rules. They build a perimeter, a firewall, and they think the job is done.
It's the castle and moat defense. Keep the bad guys out.
Right. But the problem is, the data doesn't stay in the castle. It walks right out the front door.
So walk us through this audit nightmare scenario. When the auditors come in and they crack open a typical Irvine MedTech startup, what are they finding that just, you know, freaks them out?
It's usually a horror show of the mundane. They're not finding sophisticated Russian hackers in the system. They're finding a clinical trial database where the patient names and the dates of birth are just plain text, unencrypted.
Just sitting there, like anyone could read it.
Just sitting there. Or they find a product testing log in Excel sheet that has patient IDs in it, saved on the desktop of a workstation that has no password protection.
Or maybe it's on a laptop.
That's the classic. A field clinical engineer downloads a data set to analyze at home over the weekend. That laptop is sitting in the backseat of their car. They stop for coffee, window gets smashed, laptop is gone.
And if that disk isn't encrypted?
That's a reportable breach. You have to notify the government and probably the media. And that is where the fines start piling up.
Okay, let's get technical for a second. The folks listening are industry pros. They can handle it. What is the specific difference between generic IT and compliant IT here? What are the magic words we need to look for?
The big one is encryption at rest.
Okay. Unpack that for me, because I think most people assume if they have a password, it's encrypted.
And that's a dangerous assumption. Most people think encryption means the website starts with HTTPS. That's encryption in transit. That protects the data while it's moving across the internet. That's good. That's important. But at rest means if I pull the hard drive out of your server or your laptop and plug it into my computer, can I read the files?
And if you have that standard IT?
Usually, yes. The file system is wide open. You need tools like BitLocker for Windows or File Vault for Macs, and they have to be managed centrally so that if the device is lost, the data is just gibberish to a thief. Without the key, it's just noise.
But it goes deeper than just the hard drive, right?
Mm.
What about the databases themselves? If I'm running a SQL server with patient data, is BitLocker enough?
Not necessarily. If you're building a custom database for your study, you need something called Transparent Data Encryption, or TDE. That encrypts the database files themselves. And for the really sensitive fields like social security numbers or patient IDs, you need column-level encryption.
So even if the database administrator logs in, they can't necessarily see the patient's name unless they have that specific key.
Exactly. It's granular. And generic IT almost never sets this up because, frankly, it's hard to manage and it can slow things down slightly. They prioritize speed and uptime. A compliance-focused IT partner prioritizes data integrity.
There's another concept here that I found really interesting. Access controls. The idea of least privilege. This feels like something that startups in particular are just terrible at.
Oh, startups are the worst at this. And you get why. In a startup, you wear 10 hats. The CEO is also the sales director. The lead engineer is also doing tech support. So they just give everyone admin rights to everything because it's easier.
I just need to get the file. Don't block me.
Right. But under HIPAA, that's a violation. The minimum necessary standard says a user should only have access to the data they absolutely need to do their specific job.
So the sales guy shouldn't be able to browse the raw clinical trial data just out of curiosity.
Precisely. You need an identity and access management system, an IAM. It segregates duties. The quality engineer sees the complaint files. The regulatory specialist sees the submission data. They don't see each other's files unless there's a documented reason.
And I'm guessing password 123 is not cutting it anymore?
No. And this is the hill I will die on. Multi-factor authentication, or MFA. If you can access patient data with just a username and password, you are failing the audit, period. It has to be the password plus the code on your phone or a biometric scan.
It seems like such a basic thing now. I mean, I use MFA for my bank, but I bet a lot of legacy systems in these manufacturing plants just don't have it enabled.
Many don't, or they'll have it on email, but not on the VPN or not on the specific database server. It has to be ubiquitous.
Okay, so that's the Hiya PA side. That's the scary federal agency everyone knows. But the source material brings up this really fascinating double jeopardy situation. And I think this is the part that will really wake up our listeners. It's not just about the OCR, it's about the FDA.
This is the critical insight. Historically, people thought of these as two different silos. The FDA cares if the device works, a GA cares if the data is private. But now, those silos are merging.
How? Because usually government agencies don't talk to each other that well.
Think about your quality system. You're probably following ISO 13485. That standard is all about risk management. If an FDA auditor sees that you're reckless with data, you have no backups, no encryption, weak passwords, they're going to ask a terrifying question.
Which is what?
If you are this sloppy with your data, how can we trust that you're disciplined with your manufacturing?
Oof. That cuts deep. That goes right to the core competency of the entire company.
It does. It attacks the credibility of your quality system. A data security failure can be interpreted as a failure of your management controls.
So a data leak could literally trigger a 483 observation or a warning letter about your manufacturing process.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know, a 483 is the form the FDA gives you when they find a violation. It's the fix this or else notice. If you don't fix it, you get a warning letter. Ignore that, you get a consent decree, which can shut down your production line.
So we aren't just talking about a fine from the Civil Rights Office. We are talking about the FDA potentially stopping you from shipping your product.
Correct. It's an existential threat. And there's another overlap, FDA Part 11.
That's the rule about electronic records and signatures,
You're right.
right?
It mandates audit trails, knowing who changed a record and when they changed it. That aligns almost perfectly with HIPAA's requirement for access logs. If you solve for one, you're halfway to solving the other. If you ignore one, you're probably failing both.
Two birds with one stone, or two disasters with one mistake.
That's a great way to put it.
I want to pivot now to the hidden risks. The things that aren't on the server room floor, the source mentions the BAA blind spot.
The business associate agreement. This is the contract. It essentially says, I am trusting you with this data, and you promise to protect it according to federal law.
And let me guess, companies just forget to sign these.
Constantly. And usually with vendors they don't even think of as medical.
Give me an example. Who are we forgetting here?
Okay, take the shredding service. You hire a company to come destroy your old paper records and hard drives. They're driving away with a truck full of PHI. Do you have a BAA with them?
Probably not. You just paid them $50 and watched them drive off into the sunset.
That's a violation. What about the cloud provider hosting your email? Or the freelance legal consultant who's reviewing your patient dispute files. If you send a spreadsheet to a lawyer and you don't have a BAA in place, you have just caused a data breach.
Wow. It really is about the chain of custody. You can't just hand it off and wash your hands of it.
The source notes that the number one violation they see is the lack of a comprehensive risk analysis that includes these third parties. You're responsible for that data, even when you hand it to someone else.
And then there's the human element, training. I feel like every corporate employee has sat through that boring video once a year where they tell you not to click on the Nigerian prince email. Is that enough?
Not for the OCR, and certainly not for a medical device company. That kind of generic training is considered inadequate workforce training.
So what does adequate look like?
It has to be role-specific. An R&D scientist needs to know how to securely de-identify data before they export it from a clinical database. A sales rep needs to know how to use encrypted email on their iPad. A generic video doesn't teach them that.
It's all about context. The sales rep has different risks than the scientist.
Exactly. If the training doesn't match the actual workflow, it's useless, and the auditors know it.
So, okay, we've painted a pretty terrifying picture here. The stakes are high, the technical requirements are granular, the regulators are closing in from both sides, FDA and FIMATE. But the source material offers a solution. It calls it a strategic pivot.
Right, we have to flip the script. Instead of viewing compliance as a burden, just red tape and cost, we need to view it as a weapon, a competitive advantage.
The source highlights a partner here, Technigian. They've been serving the Orange County and Irvine area since 2000. How does their approach differ from the generic IT guys we were just bashing?
Well, they specialize. They're not trying to fix printers for a flower shot. They understand the intersection of FDA regulations and HIPAA security. They know what an adverse event report is. They know what FDA Part 11 means.
And they argue that good compliance actually helps you win business. Walk me through that logic, because usually spending money on IT just feels like burning cash.
It's simple. Who are you selling your device to?
Hospitals. Big hospital systems.
And what are hospitals terrified of?
Ransomware. Data breaches.
Lawsuits.
Exactly. So before a major hospital system signs a contract to buy your new heart monitor, they are going to audit you. Their CISO, their chief information security officer, is going to send you a 400-question security questionnaire. And if you answer no to encryption or no to risk analysis,
the CISO vetoes the deal. I don't care if your device cures cancer. If it introduces a security vulnerability into their network, they will not buy it.
So a company like Technogian helps these firms produce the documentation to sail through those vendor audits.
Exactly. You walk in with a binder or, you know, a secure portal that proves you are locked down. That makes you a low-risk vendor. It actually speeds up the sales cycle. You're not just selling a device, you're selling a secure partnership.
There's also a point here about M&A mergers and acquisitions. A lot of our listeners in Irvine are startups hoping for an exit. They want to get bought by Medtronic or Edwards or J&J.
And those giants have armies of lawyers doing due diligence. If they look at your data practices and see a mess, they view you as a toxic asset.
Because they're not just buying your technology, they're buying your liability.
Precisely. If they see unresolved HIPAA risks, they might walk away. Or they might knock $10 million off the purchase price to cover the cost of fixing your mess. Investing in compliance now is basically investing in your exit valuation.
That's a powerful way to frame it. It's not a cost, it's equity protection.
100%.
There's one more threat mentioned in the source that feels very 2026, cyber warfare. Why are medical device firms specifically targeted?
It's the ransomware equation. Hackers are, you know, they're rational businessmen. They look for targets that have money and face high pressure to pay up quickly.
And a medical device company fits that bill.
Perfectly. Imagine you're in the middle of a critical phase 3 clinical trial. You have deadlines.
Yeah.
You're burning cash. If a hacker locks up all your data and demands $5 million to give it back,
you're desperate. You can't afford a 3-month delay to rebuild the data from scratch.
Hackers know this. They know your time to recovery needs to be basically zero. That makes you a prime target.
So let's play out the worst case scenario. The auditors are coming. Maybe it's a random audit. Maybe a patient complained. Maybe you lost a laptop. What happens?
There are really three triggers. The random audit, it's rare, but it happens. The complaint-based, that's usually a whistleblower or a patient. And the big one, the breach investigation.
That's the automatic one.
Yes. If you lose more than 500 records and one stolen laptop can easily have 500 rows in an Excel sheet, the OCR is mandated by law to investigate you.
So there is no hiding. What saves you in that moment?
Documentation. The source emphasizes this over and over. If it isn't written down, it didn't happen.
So you can't just say, oh yeah, we encrypt things.
No, you need logs. You need a screenshot of the BitLocker status. You need the safe harbor proof.
Explain safe harbor. This sounds like the silver bullet.
It is. If that stolen laptop was encrypted according to NIST standards and you could prove it, the data is considered uncompromised. It's not a breach. You don't get fined. You don't have to tell the media.
That is a get-out-of-jail-free card.
It's the most valuable card in your deck, but you have to prove it. You need the documentation showing the encryption was active at the time of the theft.
And what about disaster recovery? The source mentions testing it quarterly.
This is where so many companies fail. They have a backup plan in a binder somewhere, gathering dust. The auditors want to see drill logs. They want to know. On June 1st, we pretended the server burned down. We restored from backup. It took 4 hours. Here's the report.
Like a fire drill. If you don't run the drill, the plan is just theoretical.
Exactly. And in a real disaster, a theoretical plan is useless.
This really brings us to the bottom line, the economics of all this. The source compares the cost of managed IT, specialized medtech IT, versus the cost of a violation.
Right. You're looking at maybe $3,000 to $8,000 a month for a service like Technogian, depending on the size of the company.
Which isn't nothing. That's a real line item.
It is. But compare that to the violation. The fine starts at $50,000. But the remediation, hiring forensic consultants, lawyers, credit monitoring for patients, that runs into the millions.
Plus the lost contracts we talked about.
It's the classic ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure. Except the pound of cure here is more like a ton of bricks.
It really seems like specialized IT is just the cost of doing business in this sector now. You can't really garage startup your way through HIPAA anymore.
Not in 2026. The ecosystem is too connected, the threats are too sophisticated, and honestly, the moral obligation is just too high.
That's a great point to bring it home. We started with that heart-sinking email from the OCR. The whole goal of this deep dive is to make sure you never receive it.
Or, if you do receive it, you can calmly sip your coffee, open a file cabinet, and say, here is everything you asked for. We're covered.
And that is the difference between a company-ending crisis and a routine Tuesday.
It is. For Irvine's innovators, EPA isn't just red tape anymore. It is the foundation of trust. You cannot operate in the modern healthcare ecosystem without it.
So, here is the call to action for everyone listening, whether you're the CEO, the IT director, or a quality engineer. Take a hard look at your digital hygiene. When was the last time you actually did a risk analysis? Is that laptop in your trunk encrypted?
And are you treating your data with the same rigorous quality standards that you treat your medical device?
That's the key question. And I want to leave all of you with one final thought to chew on. We are moving into a world of the Internet of Medical Things.
Connected devices everywhere.
Pacemakers that talk to phones, insulin pumps that talk to the cloud. In that world, data safety is patient safety.
That's right. If a hacker can access the data, they might be able to access the command protocols of the device itself.
So if you aren't securing the data, are you really securing the device? Are you really protecting the patient?
It's a chilling thought.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's world, cyber safety is patient safety. They are one and the same.
A heavy but necessary realization. Well, that wraps up this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure unpacking all this.
Keep those data packets encrypted, maintain that safe harbor, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.